We'll be out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, starting in verse 4. Ephesians 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Father, thank you for your word today, and we thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit is here to lead and guide us into all truth. God, I pray that you would speak through me today as I preach, as I teach. God, that you would encourage and build up the body in the name of Jesus, bringing maturity to all the saints that are listening today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes.
You may be seated. Praise God. Right now, I'm going to ask Pastor Christine's going to pass out to you Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2 printed out for you. For this particular series that we began last week, this is called Grow. This series is called Grow. It is a fresh look at the book of Ephesians through a specific lens. The lens that we're talking about is the GROW lens. G-R-O-W is our acronym. It is God's part is the first letter, God's part in the human equation to mature the saints. It's God's part, what God does. The second letter in our acronym that we shared with you last week was response. Our response to what God has done. So there is a response that God is looking for in every believer when it comes to the things that he has brought us. And then the third letter is obstacle. We all encounter obstacles in this life and how we overcome them by faith. The fourth letter in our acronym is witness, our witness to the world. And so as we look at this whole new, fresh way, just to look at the book of Ephesians with this specific, these four lenses, we walked through chapter 1 last week. And as we walked through chapter 1, we saw several things that we pointed out to you. One of the things that I said was that growth is not automatic. Growth is not automatic for the Christian. Just because you become a Christian does not mean that you're going to automatically grow. There is a responsibility, there is a part that you and I play in our growth with God. And then the other thing that we mentioned to you is that not only is growth not automatic, growth is a choice. You choose to grow by how you respond to what God has done for you. And as we respond in faith, God brings maturity to his people. Now, I gave you a couple of little tidbits about the background of this epistle that Paul wrote from prison. This is one of his prison epistles to the saints in Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was a pagan cultural center of the Roman world at that time. It was not, obviously, it was not Rome, but it was a very big center place for pagan activity, for idol worship, for gluttony, for debauchery of every conceivable kind, sexual and otherwise, was right here in Ephesus. They had a temple that they would worship, and just, I mean, we get upset by things that we see today in our culture. I'm telling you, it was far worse in first century Roman culture, far worse. And so when we look at this, we understand that God is trying to instruct the Ephesian church to grow up, in even though they're in a hostile environment, to grow in the things of God. This is known, this particular book is known as the Alps of the New Testament. It's known as the Grand Canyon of the New Testament. It is not just a little tiny afterthought. This particular book is so power-packed for the believer. It has practical ways of responding and living for Christ, as well as dealing with the spiritual aspect of our lives. And so when we're looking at this book and we're looking at it with these specific four lenses, I encourage you to use these lenses and go back through and reread chapter 1 and look at what was going on in chapter 1 and say, oh, okay, I see that that is part of what God did. This was part of the believer's response. Then you might continue down and say, oh, that was an obstacle that somebody had to overcome. And then you might see where there was a tipping of the hand, if you will, or the Apostle Paul may be indicating that that is how the world would see us. They would see us as a witness for Jesus Christ. Now, you're not necessarily going to find all four of these lenses in every single verse or every single chapter. But for our purposes, I felt like it was important for us to kind of look at Ephesians in a fresh new way with these four lenses. Like, you're specifically looking for what's God's part? What's my part? What's the obstacle that needs to be overcome here? What is the result of my maturing in Christ to show the world a witness? And I believe that as you do this, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal some things to you, even if you've walked with the Lord many, many years. Some of the words that just jumped out, the reason why I printed out both chapters for you is to back up a little bit, just to kind of, we're not going to go through and re-preach last week's sermon. But in chapter 1, these were words that just jump out at me every single time. Partly because I write in my Bible, too, right? But these words just really bless me when I'm having a struggling day. Have you ever had a no-good, rotten, awful, bad day? Right?
Yes.
If you have ever had one of those kind of days, or even weeks, you can look at these words, and it will automatically lift your spirit. Because in Ephesians chapter 1, let me just list a couple of things that have jumped out to me. You do you, I'll do me, okay? But maybe the Lord will encourage you by something that jumped out to me. You're blessed. You're chosen. You're loved. You're accepted. You're redeemed. You're forgiven. You're sealed. You have an inheritance. You're purchased. And you're enlightened. That's just chapter 1. Now, you can go through your own list and see which ones the Holy Spirit enlightens to you. But that's my list. Blessed, chosen, loved, accepted, redeemed, forgiven, sealed. I have an inheritance. I'm purchased. I'm a purchased possession. I still love that phrase. I said that to you last week. That's one of my favorite phrases in this particular, I'm a purchased possession. I've been bought. I'm not for sale. Isn't that good?
Hallelujah.
I hope you're getting encouraged here. I'm enlightened. So, what happens when we're just trying to walk through life and life is throwing stuff at us and we have an opportunity to be discouraged? We have an opportunity to be down. We have an opportunity. Because life and this sinful world and the fallen world that we live in, lots of bad stuff can happen. If we just focus on the negative, I mean, some of us just need to go and just, you know, crawl under the bed and turn the lights out, right? Well, that's not what God's plan is for the church. His purpose. This book was written to reveal the purpose, the mystery of Christ. It was to show the world his body. The fullness of everything. I'm telling you, this particular book just brings such culmination to what God wants us as believers to walk out, to be that light in the world. So again, we're looking at it through this lens of God's part, our response, the obstacles that we may need to overcome, and our witness. What is that going to do? Our witness is being able to display God's goodness to the rest of the world. And so I think you'll see with me how awesome this particular study will be. So that was last week. Now we're on chapter 2. And again, I just want to remind you, this is a prison epistle. Paul's writing this with probably a Roman guard chained to him. He's under house arrest. And years ago, I remember Silvio had a Roman costume. Mm-hmm. And he would come and we'd do children's events. He would dress up. Yeah. He got the real deal looking thing. It looked like something that came out of Sight and Sound Theater. He's like, ooh. And Silvio's, he's not a little guy. So, he just kind of has that, And I can imagine the Apostle Paul writing the manuscript for this epistle to the church, to the believers, the called out ones that were living in a just a difficult place. And the Apostle Paul is chained to this Roman guard. But yet there is something that burns deep inside of him, a passion to know God and to mature the saints. Now, the vision of our church that we keep talking about is that we want to know God. We want to find freedom. We want to discover purpose, and we want to make a difference. So when we're reading this book with the lenses that I'm talking to you today about, I believe you can see the connection, to connect the dots on how we can mature and we can be that much stronger as a local body of Christ. So the Apostle Paul spent approximately 2 years with this church physically. He lived there. He taught them. So when he is reminding them of some of these truths, he is reminding them that the Lord is wanting them to mature. That's why he brings some practical ways of living out the gospel, as we will see. And he brings in that spiritual aspect and pulls back the mystery that so many people just feel like, well, God's ways are higher than my ways, and I just don't know anything. But we'll find out that that's not exactly what God had in mind for the New Testament. That in Christ, the mystery is revealed. We don't have to stumble around in the dark and say, well, God's ways are higher than our ways, and so I don't know what it means. Some really wonderful people that I grew up with and have nothing but respect and love for, that was as much revelation as they allowed to get into them. But God wants to reveal himself through this word, and it's not meant to be a game that he's playing with us. The Holy Spirit came to lead and guide us into all truth and to grow us up. So we don't have to walk around and go, well, I don't know. We can find out because God's given us his word and he's given us his Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, again, another tidbit for the book of Ephesians. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation, actually, this is one of the seven churches that is addressed in the book of Revelation. So this is one of the seven that was addressed. And this is the one where he said, you've forgotten your first love. This is the one he said, I know your deeds, and he gives them a commendation. The Lord gave them a commendation of some things they were doing right. But he said, but you've forgotten your first love. So he reminds them. Now that's Book of Revelation chapter 2. So understand where the context of this book is coming from. So now, verse 1. Verse 1 of chapter 2. And by grace through faith, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, just looking at this, and then again, we're looking at these lenses, if you will, to look at what God's part is, to look at what the believer's response is, to look at what obstacle may be needed to be overcome, and to look at what the witness that God wants to bring that maturity to the believer. Notice he says here, and he made you alive. So what would you say to that? Is that God's part, or is that our response? Anybody? You can go ahead and talk to me today. Huh? It's God's part, right? He made us alive, right? Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Aren't you glad he took your dead spirit and he made you alive in Christ? Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. You were once dead in trespasses and sins, in which you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit who is now in the sons of disobedience. Now, going on, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were, by nature, children of wrath, just as the others. Now, as you look at that, what does that tell you? And you're looking at, remember, the four lenses we're looking at. Is it God's thing? Did God make us do this?
No.
Or was it our response? Or lack of response? Is this an obstacle to overcome? Or is this a witness? Or lack of a witness? It could be any one of these things as you're looking at it, except for I don't think God made us walk in darkness, right? Instead, he's the one who turns on the light, so it's not the first one. But it could be almost any one of the other three. Our lack of response to the goodness of God. Our lack of response. But the obstacle, what stands out to me when I look at this, is the obstacle of our flesh, our fallen nature. And it's very clear here from what the Apostle Paul is telling us, and he echoes it in Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. In other words, whether you've known the Lord forever, so to speak, not at forever, but since you were like a little kid, all the way until those of you who just came to Christ, you were lost. He said all of us were by nature children of wrath. We all had a problem. We all had a sin problem. You know, whether you were in a stateroom on the Titanic or whether you were in the belly of the ship as a servant, you needed a lifeboat. Am I right? We're all in that sinking ship of humanity, but thanks be to God. The mystery's been revealed. God did his part. And now our response to that by faith is what eventually will get us to maturity. All right? So as we continue on, he says here, he says, but God, aren't you glad for that phrase right there? I mean, if you just stopped at verse 3, you could get depressed. Captain, the boat is sinking. But God had a lifeboat.
Yes.
God had a lifeboat. The boat's sinking. We got hit. We're all going down. But God, who is rich in mercy.
Yes.
Now, I circled mercy. Do you know what mercy means? Mercy is you got treated better than you deserve. Better than you deserve. So now turn to your name and say, better than I deserve.
Better than I deserve.
That's God's mercy. You know, sometimes people kind of get grace and mercy a little bit kind of kind of a little blended, and they'll say, oh, that was just God's grace. No, that was God's mercy. God's grace was the power to get you through it and beyond it. See, God's grace is God's power, His passion, His ability to do inside of you what you can't do yourself. That's God's part, right? So mercy is also God's part. And it says here, He's rich in mercy. I'm so glad that He's not a miser with mercy. That He's not a penny pincher with mercy. Well, I gave you mercy last week, just not doing it today. Aren't you glad? But because of His great love, great love which He loved us, He loved us. And then it says here, even when we were dead in trespasses, and He made us alive. The breath of God coming on the inside. I'm reminded of what 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, that all Scripture is God-breathed. That's the life of God on the Word of God. And when we accept the Word of God by faith, His life comes on the inside of us. And faith is birthed. And we can respond to the goodness of God. We can respond to His great love for us. And as we respond, we can mature, and God will continue to give us more and more light. Notice what it says here. We were dead in our trespasses. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And that's the power of God. And raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. Glory to God! Seated with Jesus. Jesus is not wringing His hands about how terrible the world is right now. He's seated because the work has been done on His part. We still have a little responsibility, don't you think? Glory. We still got to get this gospel out and show the world. And notice what He says in verse 7. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace, His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. For by grace you've been saved. Oh, man. Through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship. That means His masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, looking at Ephesians with our lenses, I think there's a lot right there. I'll let the Holy Ghost talk to you what was God's part. What was the believer's part? What was the obstacle that might need to be overcome? What was the witness or the end result to the world? And you'll see a lot of the lenses that I'm talking about are right there. Right there. Very clear. Right there. What God did. God's part. Our response to what He did. Our response. Overcoming obstacles and being a witness to the world. I love that. And verse 10, another one of my life favorite verses is, I like this because it really illustrates that we have a part to play. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. For good works. You know, in recent years, there's been such an emphasis on grace, and I'm thankful for it, because there's a lot of really good, it really needed to be emphasized, that God's grace, His power, His passion, His ability, doing stuff inside of us, I use the word stuff, sorry, doing things inside of us that we can't do ourselves, right? I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for His love. I'm thankful for the emphasis of that. But works is not a bad word for the Christian.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Works is not a bad word.
No, it's not.
For the Christian.
Nope. No, it's not.
Works is not a bad word for the Christian. Works is not a bad word for the Christian. I like what my mentor in heaven now, Dr. Horace Ward, used to say, that we are saved not by works, but we are saved unto works. God expects the mature believer to be working some works. He expects the mature believer to be working some works. That's how Jesus said, greater works shall you do. Because I go to my Father in heaven. The idea that Christians just, well, that's just works, brother. You're just talking about works. That we shouldn't live right, that's a problem. God has an expectation that we live up to a witness for the rest of the world.
That's right.
To see that we have been rescued from darkness. We have been redeemed. We are the redeemed ones. The ones who've been bought back. The ones who are no longer on the auction block. I'm a purchased possession. He said, you're mine. Warts and all. Flaws and all. Right? But he says, I've saved you unto good works. Unto good works. Now, I like to do this because I think it illustrates the point time and time again. So I'd like a young person volunteer. I'll take a young person. Any young person who is brave enough to come up here, and you're in the service, and you're like, oh, I'll do it. Anybody up here? You're going to come up here. I need you to be an illustration. Anybody? Anybody? Anybody brave enough to come on up here? Come on. I don't hurt. I don't bite anybody. I got.
Sevi.
Anybody? Sevi, Mark. I'm looking around.
All right, Daniel.
Oh, yeah. All right. So Daniel is going to be, he's going to be the believer. Okay? You're the Christian. So Daniel's the Christian, all right, in this illustration. Now, if you guys need to stand or something just to kind of be able to see this, that's fine. It's totally fine. We're family here. If you're online, hopefully you'll be able to see this. And so what we're going to do is Daniel, we're just going to make a story here. Daniel has accepted Christ, right? He's been baptized, and he's walking in the plan of God, okay? Now, I just, you know, kind of have made this story. So maybe he's yet to do those things. It's okay. He's going to help me out to tell the story. So now, once you're a Christian, right, you're going to walk toward good works that God has in the future. Okay, so I'm going to stay right there. I'm going to borrow Reverend Christine's music stand.
All right.
Okay. So these are good works right here. Now, if God has, that's out in the future. That's 10 years from now, okay? Right? 10 years, 20 years, maybe 30 years.
Oh my.
Okay, who knows? There's some good works out here in the future that God has for Daniel. And they're in the future. Say future.
Future.
God's got them all prepared for him. He's got maybe people. Go ahead. Stay right there. He's anxious to walk into the good works. Yes. All right. So now he's going to walk toward the good works. But it's his choice to walk toward them. Okay. So now you can take slow steps. Act like you're slow motion. I know you've played that before. Don't you? In slow motion, right? Every boy does it. All right, so now you're slow motion, and you arrive at the works, right? But did you know Did you know that, now you can go back right over there. Thank you, Daniel. Just go back right over there. Stand right there. You're doing a great job.
He's great.
Right? Now, did you know that if the enemy comes along and distracts him from the good works, the enemy and our flesh can get him off track. And he could end up over here. And he could pass up the good works that God had in advance. He could live his entire life without coming to the good works. That's our responsibility, is to find out, what does God have for me, right? Come back over here, because we know Daniel's going to do it the right way.
That's right.
All right?
Amen.
So, as you walk with Christ, you walk toward those good works that he prepared for you in advance. And so when you go like this, you get there, and you get to the good works. And let me tell you something. When you're doing the work of God, and you're doing what he called you to do, you're doing the purpose and the plan that he has for your life, you are going to be the most happy and the most fulfilled. Thank you so much. You can go back to your seat. Give him a hand.
Good job, Daniel. You're right.
So, there is God's part. God does his part. But then there is still our responsibility to walk in his ways. And we're going to continue to see that. We're responding to him, right? So now as we continue on, he says, you were created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's God's will. But did you know you have a choice? Whether or not you either give into the flesh, whether you listen to the enemy's lies or not. And when you do, you will find yourself off track. But aren't you glad that God always has a way to get you back on track?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad about that? Has any other believer in here besides me ever gotten off track?
Yes.
Right? Have you ever missed it? And then you realized, uh-oh, I missed it. Lord, forgive me. I am so sorry. I'm going to do it your way. What did you do? You changed your mind. That's what repentance is. You changed your mind to go back to God's way. And as soon as you go back to God's way, God is so rich in mercy. Aren't you glad he's rich in mercy? Right? He's rich in mercy. He lets us get right back on track and get to the good works that he has prepared in advance for us. So we don't have to worry, well, I missed God and I'll never find him again. You don't have to do that. You don't have to play that game that says, well, I'll just never, I missed it. The Bible tells me that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, which means this. Whatever God put inside of you, he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change his mind. Even if you have gotten off track, you've done the wrong thing, you've turned your back on him, and started going your own way. Just like the prodigal son came to himself, you can come to yourself and say, wait a second, it's better in Father's house. And if it's better in Father's house, I can get right back on track and intersect with the good works, the calling, the gifts that God has for me. And I can be fulfilled in my life so I can be a witness for the rest of the world. That's maturing of the saints, and that's where the rubber meets the road for you and me, is that we walk in those things. Now, as we continue on, we're going to finish this chapter really quickly here. It says here, he says that you should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. That's a just terrible place to be in, right? But now, in Christ, glory to God. But now, in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. You've been brought near by the blood of Christ. You're no longer far away. You're no longer a stranger in a foreign land. You are no longer without hope, without God in the world. You are no longer walking in darkness. I am encouraging you as believers that this path to maturity of looking at what God has done, responding to what God has done, we respond to His love. We can love our brother and sister in Christ because we know how much God loves us. Mm-hmm. He showed His love to us first while we were still sinners, while we were still without hope, while we were without God. He showed His love to us first. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
So when we find ourselves maybe having trouble with our love walk, just start meditating on how much God loves you. It'll be easier to love others. Praise God. Now, as you continue on, he says, you who once have been brought, who were far, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace. Shalom. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Who has made both one. He's broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinance, so as to create in himself a new man from the two, thus making peace. Shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And that he might reconcile them both to God in the body through the Christ cross. Therefore, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you, nothing broken, nothing missing, who were far off, and those who were near. For through him we both, those who were far off and those who were near, they both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Hallelujah. Now therefore, in other words, because of this, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, hallelujah, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, and in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Once again, you look at these lenses, God's part, our response, the obstacles that may need to be overcome, the witness to the world. And as you look at these scriptures with those lenses, I believe God will reveal some powerful things in your own personal life as you apply the Word of God. I believe our response to Him totally matters. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, and as I finish this portion of this series today, I want to remind you that God has given you everything you need for life and godliness through your knowledge of Him. So if you're not living right, it's not God's fault. Because growth is a choice. If you want to intersect with the good works, it is a choice. It is our response. Will there be obstacles? You better believe it. The first obstacle when you look in the mirror in the morning is your flesh. That's the first obstacle you will find that you will have to overcome. It is your attitudes. It is the human reasoning and stinking thinking, so to speak. And we renew our mind by the Word. That's how we get strong faith. That's how we respond correctly to our Heavenly Father. Amen? Praise God. It's time to prepare ourselves to receive communion this morning. I trust you've heard the Word this morning and that it was an encouragement to you. For those that are getting ready to serve us, We have open communion here. If you're at home and you would like to join us, you do not have to be a member of this church. We ask that you be a member of His church. And how is that? Well, the Bible's pretty clear. It tells us in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, if you believe in your heart and you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, you will be saved. That is being a member of His church. It's called being born again. Jesus told us you must be born again in John chapter 3. And so we want to give you an opportunity, if there's anybody here or online that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're preparing to receive communion, if that's you right now with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you just right there where you are. You could be at home, you could be right here. I want you just to think about your relationship with God. Think about when you came to Christ. If you've been away, is it time for you to get back on track to actually intersect with the good works? Is it time for you to recommit your life to Christ? And if that's you, we're going to pray a simple prayer together this morning, right here in this place. And if you'll join us in that prayer and mean it with your heart, God will meet you right where you're at. You'll be a member of His church. And then you can receive communion, and this covenant meal will have great significance and power for you. So right now, if that's you, I'm just going to see if there's anybody here who would like to either recommit your life to Christ, or you would like to be born again. You'd like to pray this morning and become a member of His church. Is there anybody at all that you would say, I'd like to receive Christ into my life? Is there anybody at all? All right, if you're watching online, you could be there. I won't know. But you can pray with us. If you're going to recommit your life, anybody would like to recommit your life to Christ? All right, let's pray together. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for my sins, that He was raised from the dead. I receive His forgiveness by faith right now. And I call Jesus my Lord and Savior from this day forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is our lifeboat. If you are in that place where you need Christ, He's your lifeboat. Amen.